All right, welcome to May 12th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DiCristoforo. And for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to be talking about America, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's begin the program with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand up. Let's face the flags if we have one and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. America! Very nice. Okay, now on today's program.
The Tammany Society is formed. We'll wish a happy birthday to Chuck Hull, the father of 3D printing.
Ernie Banks hits his 500th homer. Okay, so now let's get started.
1789, Tammany Society is formed. Also known as the Columbian Order, this New York City political organization lasted 2 centuries. It started out as a club back in Philly in 1772, and its first grand sachem, or leader, was wealthy philanthropist William Mooney. The name Tammany comes from Native American Lenape Chief Tamanens, or the Affable, a peacemaker from Delaware who is a friend of William Penn, would no doubt wonder today how his name would become synonymous with corruption after Boss Tweed got a hold of Tammany Hall, which I'll get into in a moment. Aaron Burr, or as I like to call him, M.B., would use the Tammany Hall as a political force against the Federalists to support the 1800 presidential election victory of Thomas Jefferson. By 1817, the Irish wanted in on Tammany society, and they were immigrants too, and therefore should be included per Tammany's original platform. So they ruled Tammany Hall in many ways moving forward. In the 1830s, the headquarters was formed in New York City, thus becoming Tammany Hall, and in 1855, Fernando Wood became its first mayor. But what originally stood for noble ways of servicing humanity got deeper into corruption with gangs like the Dead Rabbits, harassing voters at election booths. Police bribery was rampant, and that was before Boss Tweed got a hold of it. In 1868, William Tweed, the new Grand Sachem, New York City's third largest landowner, now had control of Tammany and, by extension, the Democratic Party. Tweed does have an interesting story, which I detail on my November 23rd ep. In short, he was elected to the U.S. Senate despite allegations for taking control of the city treasury to fill his pockets, as well as voter fraud, and his vast empire would be taken down by reform lawyer Samuel Tilden. And yet, somehow, Tammany Hall managed to rise from the ashes after that. Leaders such as Richard Croker, Alfred E. Smith, and Jimmy Walker dominated New York politics for decades. But Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was governor of New York from 1928 to 1933, wasn't putting up with his corruption in any faction of the Democratic Party, New York or otherwise, and assisted NYC Mayor Fiorella LaGuardia to cut his powers and credibility. Tammany Hall lingered on for a few more decades until reform Mayor John V. Lindsay, who was NYC mayor from 1966 to 1973, put the final nail in the coffin of the corrupt Tammany Hall.
"1939, happy birthday, Chuck, father of 3D printing, Hall. He came up with stereolithography. Do you realize how many hearing aids are produced by 3D printers?
All of them.
According to The Guardian, Chuck started his journey at a company which used UV rays to harden tabletop coatings. He concocted this plan to put thousands of thin layers of plastic on top of each other, using light to carve a shape to see if he could come up with three-dimensional shapes. He played around with it in a dark room after work, after hours, and discovered that by shining a light in a tube of photopolymer, which is a liquid that changes to hard plastic under light, and trace the shape of the object one layer at a time, until the desired job is complete, then you have the concept of stereolithography. And three guys in France had already figured it out and filed their patent 3 weeks before Chuck filed his in the US. The patent in France, however, was rejected by the French General Electric Company and the French Laser Consortium due to lack of business perspective. That's because we need an American to have the business perspective. Just like Chuck Hull. First, it was the auto industry who benefited from Chuck's technology. But then the medical industry took notice, which surprised Chuck. The possibilities seemed endless. When a 3D gun was made in Texas, Chuck called the use of his technology dangerous and that he hopes that they don't hurt themselves. His company is not the government, nor the police, and the gun was probably made to prove a point. Look at the good things that could be printed, such as ravioli, chocolate, or a home, or a battery, or just plain old good times. Happy birthday, Chuck! And finally, 1970, slugger Ernie Banks hits his 500th home run for the Chicago Cubs, and although he was an NL All-Star 11 seasons, he never played a playoff game. And that is all, my friends, for May 12th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, and let me know what you think on the comment board. That is why it's there. For example,
what about that Tammany Hall story? Did you ever see Gangs of New York? What about a 3D printer? What would you make if you had one? Hint, hint. If anyone can print a good set of working eyeballs, I just might pop them in my sockets and see what happens. Ha ha, get it, see?
Cubs fans, can you believe that Ernie Banks never even played in a playoff game? Crazy! So yeah, let me know what you think. Now, on to tomorrow's program. Pope declares war on Mexico, and we will wish a very happy birthday to Dennis Rodman. So until then, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter, and let me know what you think over there as well. So thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone, and thanks for listening.